What's going on, my beautiful people? AKA here, chilling with the boys, the immortal E-Man, creator of Dante Angelos himself. If you don't know who that is, you're just not gonna get it. We got Remy chilling in the cut, Mr. Soy Sauce Packet, leaving everybody salty. And we got Kevlar in the back, holding up the guard, Kevin. And today, these guys are gonna teach me about what Mystery Box is, cause the kid is clueless. Now, our quality may be a little shit, but that's because of social distancing. Just bear with us. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, J.J. Abrams, yeah. I was watching Super 8 on Netflix a week or two ago. Not as good as I remember, but it's still enjoyable. But yeah, speaking of J.J. Abrams, y'all know about his little Mystery Box. He did a TED Talk on it too, but his Mystery Box style storytelling.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this is a topic that kind of eludes me. I don't really know.
Good. We need at least one person who doesn't know and come refresh.
Kev, you heard of it?
No, I didn't.
Alright. Essentially. Yeah, okay, so we got two to tell. But essentially, right, it's pretty simple. It's basically just a theory of his for storytelling. And this will make a lot of sense if you think about his work with Lost. Just a lot of things, really. But it's a style where he believes that the mystery and the wonder of, like, a question, of a mystery, is more important than anything else. Like, he's saying that if you can get your audience to, like, theorize and, like, wonder about the answer to some kind of question, that is basically, like, the goal of, like, telling a great story. He's saying the answer does not matter. If you could just come up with a great mystery that looks good and doesn't have any answer, then that's it. You've done it.
Nigga, what?
All right, One Piece.
I mean, that's not... That's not, like, wrong to think. I mean, I do like that it gives you the freedom to, you know, make your own belief, because, honestly, it's all... But also, I want some justification. Like, nigga, why did you do this? Like, nah, don't just give me a question that I can't answer.
Yeah, I think there's a good and a wrong, a good way. I can't really say it right and a wrong.
That's what I was gonna say. Is he saying that, like, I don't know. I guess I always thought that that was, like, the goal. But I thought he was just saying, like, that's one of the more useful tools in storytelling. I didn't know if he thought that it was, like, the whole goal.
Not the whole goal, but he's saying, like, in his TED Talk, he was essentially, like, that is his, like, when he's doing a story, that's, like, the biggest thing that he aims for, like, making people ask those questions. And he's saying that the answers, maybe not that they're, like, completely irrelevant, but he's saying that they're, like, way secondary.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do get it, though, because it's like, if you can get people talking, then that means that movie's always going to be in circulation. People are always going to watch it, and you're always going to be making money. So, you know, I can understand it, but...
Yeah.
As an example, if you were watching a movie about a detective trying to figure out who a serial killer is, and it's like in a small town or whatever, and you get introduced to all these different characters that the detective is investigating, and blah, blah, blah. And then the movie ended. And the whole time, the detective is an alcoholic, sure. And then the movie ended, and he finally quits drinking. But they never find out who the serial killer is. Just based off that, do you think you'd like the movie?
No.
No. Because you failed at your job. Like, I'm proud of you that you overcome this demon, but you still failed your job.
I think it's two things. One, I think if you'd worded that slightly differently and said there was an alcoholic who's struggling with this, that, and the other, he lost his family, blah, 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 and then said he was a detective, I think the A and B plot start to shift and the importance changes. But I also think it's important to have there be an actual, like, answer. Cause, like, if you can go look up the
crystal mobile down or something, cut out again.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
It's funny too, because he always cuts out, like, right at the point where he's about to hit him with the 1-2 punch or something.
Let me see.
Right. Let me check. Here goes the knockout.
And that ghost.
Is it, do I just cut out completely, or is it just like
from what he was saying? I think that
was so I think he was saying like the it depends on what the story, which that's a different question then too, right? Like if the thing with J.J. Abrams' version of the mystery box, you know what, now I don't know if it's still the, so I hesitate.
Yeah,
I would say,
all right.
To like, to the premise that you gave about, you know, the detective. Focus is not the murderer, and that's like your B part.
Right.
And your question is, why is this detective the way he is? Then, I believe that your audience becomes satisfied, because like, if let's say there was a detective and like the first 20 minutes was about maybe his depression and his drinking problem, and then he gets a case, then I feel like the question or the hook for me is, how did Detective Hughes get the way that he is today? Like, why is he drinking? Why is he in his mid-40s and he doesn't have kids yet, but he lives in a neighborhood where everyone else is married and stuff like that? So it's like your question has to be staged correctly. And if that, let's say, that question doesn't get completely answered, but some things do, I think you'll be kind of satisfied. But that hook, that initial hook is very important. I think when, with the original premise where it's like, okay, you have a murderer and the murderer never gets caught, I think we've just been so conditioned that if like something that the protagonist is searching for is external, it needs to be obtained at the end of like a given story or something like that. I feel like if your question conditions you into a state where the story is more about a character arc, like a character going on an inner journey rather than an outer journey, I think it's okay to not completely answer the question.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, I think, to go with that, it's definitely a question of how, like, what is the story you're trying to tell? What is the point of the story? And it's like, if you ask a question, it's a big question about something that's like integral to the plot. I can have another example. We're all probably much more familiar with the J.J. Abrams movie that kind of messed this up. But if it's integral to the plot and it doesn't get answered, that was a bad mystery. But if it's not integral to the plot, if like let me even flip it around. Like if he was so he's a detective still. He's still trying to solve a serial killer, like figure out who it is. And during the entire investigation, like he's having these conversations, there are things in the conversation that remind him of some trauma in the past. And you see flashbacks, like some dark, stormy night, something happened. You see, like, you hear screams, like in the background, you see blood, you see, like, furniture spilled, whatever. And then you never see exactly what, like, you don't see a full flashback. You don't know what is triggering him to, like, remember these things. But he finds the murderer and he finds some kind of catharsis with whatever the flashbacks were about. We maybe don't learn the details of it, but we just learn like maybe a little hint, like, you know, you can always come back from your inner demons or some vague quote like that. And then that is like the resolution to that. We don't know what it is, so that's the mystery box. Well, we can interpret that. We can, you know, whatever. But the murderer still gets caught and the main like plot thread is still resolved satisfyingly. So you get the question, satisfaction.
Okay, so like maybe I don't think you guys will ever watch the show, but major spoiler alert for like The Leftovers. In The Leftovers, you said you don't want to talk about it.
No. That's the perfect. I've seen it. That's the perfect example.
I can't remember. Where
The Leftovers?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a HBO show about 2% of the population one day just gets raptured, like they just disappeared, and no one knows why, and like everyone's trying to figure out what happened to them. But
okay, now
really the story is more about the survivors.
Okay, well, is this is this rapture thing like a, is it like a divine thing, or is it literally like
they just disappear. nobody knows
yeah. Yeah.
They're just gone.
I feel like that's the reason why you don't know, but all right, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's like it poses like a really strong question of where's the why, but the entire show is less about the why, but more about people making like their own answers just based off their own personal experiences. Now that I kind of think of it, it's just kind of like how people view God. Like when people ask, like they just notice one time after, you know, they're at a party, they puke, and they look in the mirror and they're like, wait a minute, why am I here? Like, why am I on this planet? I could have been anywhere else. And they start thinking about God and creators and stuff like that. And it's a big question that's interesting enough to hook people. And the answer could really be anything.
Which, yeah. And stuff like, and the thing is, and then stuff like that, I kind of like it. And going back real quick to what Eman said about the detective saying like the, having like the PTSD, I'm kind of okay with stuff like that too, because it's like, we understand that character. Like, we don't need to know exactly what happened, but we know that something crazy happened to this nigga to make him the way he is. And that's all we really need to know, because as the audience, if we want to go like be literal about it, we weren't there. So we, unless he tells us himself, we wouldn't know. We just have to, you know, go with what we think. And I think as that, as a plot mechanism is good, because it leads to conversations, like I said before. And as long as you get people talking about it, it's cool. But you have to leave it open enough so people interpret it, but not take away from the story, if that makes sense. Because like the PTSD thing doesn't take anything away from the detective doing what he needs to do. We just know that this happened to him, and now he's like trying to overcome it or do something or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't see that show, though. Now, it sounds interesting. But it does make sense. Like, if the rapture really did happen today, like, and I was left, I would be like, I have my still here. That would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about it. I knew there was a really good example of a show that existed. That had a really good mystery that didn't need answering, but I couldn't remember. Yeah, that was it.
What I always think about is The Walking Dead. The reason why I don't watch The Walking Dead is because I know they're never going to find out what happened and why there are zombies. And it's like, that's...
I mean, they found out what happened. They found out what happened. It's just, there's no cure for it.
All right, I guess the framing of my point is that that's not the point of the show. The point of the show isn't what happened. That's what I would want to know. And like, so once I would find that out, I'd be done. The show would keep going, which is how I would know that the show is not for me.
But, I feel you. Yeah, I feel you. Like, I only watched Walking Dead for study reasons, I guess. Like, if the zombie apocalypse did pop off, you know, I have like knowledge, or at least the base knowledge of what it might be like, because, you know, no one really knows. But, and like how to handle situations and stuff like that. That's the only reason I still watch it. And obviously, I do like some of the characters now. Like, I grew with them. Like, there's niggas still from the jump for filming that show. I'm like, what the hell? Y'all still living? But,
yeah. How's the show now without, you know, Rick in it? Does it still stand on like its 2 feet or?
Oh yeah, I honestly think the show is a lot better.
Oh,
it's
shit.
It's just a lot of people. Well, it's just like there was a point where a lot of people were falling off of it because of what was happening, and like everybody's like favorite niggas were dying and stuff like that. But that gave room for other people to shine, And I really do like it. Like, Judith is dope as fuck. She's a cowboy samurai. Like, that shit's fire as fuck. Like, Daryl is a very good leader. Like, putting him in the spotlight, I don't know, man. I think this season is really great. And they're dealing with basically a human giving up their humanity and becoming a zombie. And, like, humans still fighting to be human. And, like, both sides, they're not living in the wrong way. Like, they both have a good reason to believe what they believe. Like, the people who are on the zombie side, they're like, this is what the world is. Like Remy was saying, like, this is not going to change. This is how we have to live. We have to be, like, one with the zombies. And then you have other people who are like, we can come together, and as long as we fight back, you know, we'll be okay. And it's like those two different ways of survival, they're not wrong, each his own, but it's good to see how, you know, humans would go about combating that and stuff like that.
Well, it's good that they I know I fell off because it was repetitive. And season finales would come and we'd all be expecting like these big like events to happen, shit, you know, the status quo to change. And would just be so soft. It felt like Nally would get less, like there was just no. It was like another episode, not even a good episode either. It was just like, oh, that's the season. Now we wait like almost a year for the next one. It got so repetitive.
Yeah, I feel like that's why life would fall off, because it wasn't hitting as hard as it was. But now it's because. I feel like they also didn't have a lot to fight for at some point. Like, at one point, they were just running, like, every single time. But now they're in a spot where they're literally building, like, a whole civilization. They have, like, four different communities, and they all, like, they had a treaty. Like, there was a whole kingdom. Like, it was cool. It was nice to see humanity actually coming together and not trying to slit each other's throats for once. And then you have some fuck nigga coming in to fuck the place up. And then they survived that, you're like, all right, so they're safe. What else could happen? And now you have like another group that has like a different way of thinking, and you're just like, damn, their way of thinking isn't wrong. And I don't know, I feel like that's what picked it back up for me anyways.
I can dig it.
Yeah, that's more power to it. Is Fear of the Walking Dead still going on? Forget about this shit.
I don't
know. Like, things are going. Like, it's all gonna be connected at some point. And like, I feel like whenever they get around to doing the Walking Dead movie, that's what's gonna like tie certain things together that are happening in each of those shows. Because, like, in the Fear of the Walking Dead show, you find out that there is actually a group.
Mikey?
Oh, it's spreading.
Yeah. Get out. Oh, no. No.
That's why you gotta wash your hand. yeah, Mike, try leaving it. Come in. If you can hear us, which maybe not. Damn, dog. Well, I was going to say a recent example of Mystery Box gone wrong was JJ's use of it in Force Awakens. The Force Awakens. Specifically related to Rey's parentage.
Does that count as a Mystery Box? We eventually found the answer?
Yes, because he didn't have an answer implemented. But yeah, also didn't have an answer. No, yeah, because he wasn't, you know, when he made the movie, he wasn't gonna be the director for, you know.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, you could theoretically not have an answer that you, or pose a question and then say, I'm gonna come up with the answer later. Does that still count as a mystery box?
That's the problem. Yeah, you know, a mystery box. Wait, is that who's talking?
No, that was me. I got cut off.
Oh, okay.
But wait. So you're saying if the person or the audience comes up with that question?
No. If the creator poses a question, comes up with a question, and then says, I'll answer this later, but doesn't currently have an answer when they ask the question, is it a mystery box?
No, that's stupid. I feel like you should always go in with the answer.
But it's not about it being stupid. That's irrelevant to the question. The question is, does that make it a mystery box?
It is, because that's what he uses it for. He usually does have a question or an answer at some point. But like the fact that he doesn't start off with the answer, that's his problem, is that he starts with the question and not the answer. Because when you do that, you don't, like, you have to weave the answer to a mystery in through the plot. Because you can't just say, like, who was the killer? And then, you know, they're doing all this digging, and then the killer is some nigga who was visiting town that nobody mentioned before. He just shows up in the third act. That is not a good mystery.
Fair, but I don't think, yeah, true, but I also feel like there's other ways to do it. In the way that, like, I feel like that's just an example of a bad mystery box. I feel like you could, so like, we'll use the same, like, detective coming to a town, try to solve a murder situation. When you start that, you don't know who the killer is. And then as you're going, I feel like you could, like, pose clues and twists and turns. And then right before you get to the end, look at which ones make the most sense and then come up with your killer. I feel like that's possible.
You can't do that now. You can't do that if you don't know what the answer is. Because how do you know if they're good clues?
Because I feel like you can pose misdirection, like, you know, this one.
But how do you know it's misdirected?
Well, I see what you're saying, but when I say misdirection, I just more mean like possible fake outs, not necessarily like this lady's she's being really shady. Why is she being shady? And then it's easier to do in like a TV show, because then you can end it with an episode. So like, if in the first episode, this lady's being shady. Why is she being shady? We don't know. Episode ends. And then in episode 3, you find out because she's cheating on her husband, not because she killed the person. Now she's out of the running. And then when you get to the end, you have someone who's all his shady business is the reason because of why he was the killer, or why he was out of town. His alibi falls through, you know. Mm-hmm. Or like in episode 2, this person's got an alibi, but that alibi falls through because he's the one who his wife is cheating on. Like, I feel like it's possible to do it right. It's about your strength as a writer in that style.
Dude, the way you just described it was the exact same way. I watched Broadchurch. It's about two detectives trying to figure out who the serial killer is. And that they did that a lot, where they would put a lot of suspicion on one character, another character. But I'm pretty sure they knew who the killer was from the jump, because the answer was not something that you could just figure out like 2 or 3 episodes before the end. So, like, I'll let Mikey, because Mikey's about to say something.
I was gonna say, it seems like with mystery box, or at least to make it good, majority of the time, it should probably be done in shows or something that breaks in. Because if you try to do a movie like that, I feel like you should already have an answer. If you're trying to make a movie, you need to know who this nigga is.
I don't think it'd be possible to make the movie without. I mean, because you get one shot.
So, I mean, I guess
unless you're trying to do like multiple movies, but
yeah, I mean, the way I was thinking about it was it would have to be in a in the writer's room. Like, when you're writing it, do you know who it is at the end? Because you
could I see what you mean.
Yeah, like, yeah. You could be creating these characters and giving them as they like exist in this world that you made, giving them motivations, and then go, oh yeah, no, they like. As I'm going, well, this person's like really envious. He definitely would have killed the person, and then you pin it on them.
That's fine, yeah, because you're still writing it, you're still developing it. But you can't do that or you shouldn't do that, I should say, while you're like producing it. Like, if you've already released 3 episodes, like when creators are writing like some kind of long form story, whether it's like a comic book or a book series or whatever, and then they're looking online and they've set up this mystery and they have an answer for it. And then they see online that someone has already like guessed it correctly, like they have a theory and it's right. And the creator feels like they have to change it because they want to surprise the audience. That's stupid, because they're throwing away all of the buildup and foundation. The investment. Yeah, and it's going to make the story cheaper. The logic might not make sense. It just
and like I feel like I feel like I might not be a good person to work with in when it comes to like writing, and like if I'm in a writing room or something like that, because I'm the type of person that likes to know everything that I'm trying to accomplish before I put it down on a piece of paper. So I want to know where this is going to end. So why would I be in the writer's room not knowing how I'm trying to, you know, end this story? Like, I should already know the definitive answer of what I'm trying to do here, not figure it out as I go. Like, well, I get, like, people have different ideas in writing rooms, so things might change. Yeah. But the overall arcing, like, bad guy or antagonist should always be the same.
Yeah. I think that means, because there are, like, two types of writers. So there's the one that, like what you were saying, that they plot it, like they have an outline or something, so they know all the major stuff that's going to go down, even if some of the small stuff changes. And then there's people that literally just, they have like a premise and they have characters, and then they just write and they just kind of, they get to know the characters. Yeah, they just let it fly, you know. So I think both ways are valid, because I'm the second one. I don't know where my stories are going to end usually. I know like one or two major milestones, but then everything else is just learn as I go.
Yeah, I'm the same way, because like it reminds me of like when people are like, or actors, they say that, you know, they've been on this TV show for, you know, 3 seasons, and like they're really starting to understand the character, and like 6 seasons later they know the character better than half the writers. So like it reminds me of one of those situations where as it develops, you start to learn more about how this person acts, because you now have definitive proof of previous situations, and then things start to make more sense, and then the logic is there based on what has definitively already happened. Which is why, like, I can, that's why I see the, which I think it might be why I am more the second type whenever I like create anything, is because then you have a situation where like the logic has to make sense because you're using previous knowledge. You're not forcing something to happen based on how you think the logic would go. But I mean, like
you said, yeah. But wouldn't you say like, with that being a factor and all that stuff, wouldn't you say that, and even if I were to create a show or whatever, and I know how I want it to go, wouldn't you say like the way that people act, or like how the character comes to life, I guess you could say, wouldn't you say like that's one of the small things that changes, but you still know how, you know, you want this thing to go? Like, yeah, you grow with your character as they become to life, and you learn new things about how they might do things, but that shouldn't necessarily change the goal you're trying to accomplish.
I mean, I guess it's honestly situational. Because for me, it's like, let's say you have 3 people. So you have your main character, and you have 2 other people. The second person is, in, let's say the way you write the story, would originally be the killer, like in this murder mystery or whatever, right? You know, so like, you know, you're planning all these things for them to be the killer, okay, and you're going about things, and you're then still cutting out. So yeah. But basically, what, wait, am I only cutting out for you or for everybody?
Everyone.
Oh damn. All right. Well, so you can hear me now though, right?
Yeah.
All right. So basically all I was saying was that there are three, let's say you have 3 people. The first person is your main character. The second person is the serial killer or whatever. So then you have a third person. If you're planning something and you have the second person who, like, you're planning on these seeds for them to be the killer.
Wait, do y'all hear that?
I have more. I didn't.
Hey, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. It's Kevin, yeah.
Can you hit that mute button real quick, bro?
I don't know.
Kevin!
You feeling?
Hold up. I got it. All right, I can hear him. All right, we're good. All right. So, yeah. So, like, there are 3 people. First person is your main character. Your second person is this, who you're planning to be the serial killer. And then there's the third person. If the third person, like, you're finding out that they're, like, as things keep happening to them, as you put them in situations, they're becoming, like, way more envious and way more jealous and way more of an asshole than you originally planned based on, like, things that are happening to them, I could see you flipping it to then make them the serial killer. That only works if they've also been in situations where they could have actually done the murder. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like that's when mystery boxes go wrong, when they, because you need both things to happen. You need them to be develop as a person who would have the motivation for it, as well as also being in the right place at the right time. Like, if you give them a solid alibi in the first episode, you can't just throw that out on the season finale. Like, that doesn't make sense. But if the logic is
there, my twin brother.
Yeah, like, that shit is whack. But, like, if you find yourself in a situation where, like, it could make sense, like, you know, they were adopted or something, and they were with their parents. If the parents' alibi falls through because they had a bad relationship because they were adopted, so they wanted to lie for their kid who they never had a real bond with, they're trying to, like, reconnect with them, that's decent enough, you know, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, that's decent enough that I could be like, okay, there's something there, and that could still be
a good story about. What kind of, like, medium is this story, though, that you like, in this scenario?
I don't have one yet, but, like, I don't know.
I guess if you were just talking about the detective thing.
Yeah, but not, is this a book? Is this a TV show, a movie?
In my head, I didn't stick it yet. Like, I didn't
plan for it. Because I feel like if you write the whole thing, then, you know, you should be able to figure all of that out before you even start.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the production process, I guess, but you should know pretty, like, far before the scenes are even acted out. Like, yeah. You should have figured out, like, how the characters are and whatnot. Because I can see that going from season to season.
Yeah.
Where character changes, but that's the kind of thing, like that shit happens to me all the time, where I make outlines, but they almost always, like, by the end, it's like a completely different, like, the sequence of events changes. The major points are still there, like how Mikey was saying, like, the big stuff, it still happens, but it doesn't always happen the way that I thought it would, or it's not always the people involved that I thought it was going to be, and people do and say different things, and you know, it's literally like these characters are like real people, and they're telling me, like, what the story is and what they're gonna do next. So I always get surprised a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like that's good though. You should be able to write characters that surprise you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
But I'm not trying to rush you or nothing. But you do know it's 5:43. I'm not.
Yeah, I was gonna.
That's No, I'm good.
All right. But, Oh, but I think with the mystery box, though, like, I would only apply that term mystery box to specifically the way JJ does it, which is, I mean, sometimes it hits well enough to where the answer to the mystery, didn't know the question, the answer from jump, it still works out well enough. And the rest of the, whatever, usually movie, film, is still really good, so it's enjoyable. But oftentimes, like, people criticize it because he's starting off at the wrong end of the, you know, the whatever equation, I guess. Yeah. So it's
I mean, like,
again, with the Ray's parents thing, he didn't know the answer to that, and he had no intentions of answering it in that movie, obviously.
I think that's the issue. It's whether or not there's an intent to answer the question or not. If there's no intent to answer the question, I feel like that's when it starts to become a bad thing.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
Because even the intent to answer it later would be okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's, it's a problem. I don't know. Because he might have just made it and kind of raised the question and just assumed that one of the other two directors, someone else would have the answer. But it's like, if he had known the answer, for example, then he could have put some shit in his movie to kind of hint to it, to make the reveal better. Just, you know, that's how good mysteries work.
I mean, the problem there is that, like, that whole shit was a shit show. Like, the fact there was no outline to begin with, because when you were saying that, I was thinking, well, even if he had the answer, he could have given the next couple of directors hints. But that never would have happened based on the way they did it. So, I don't know.
Yeah. That's true. It's true. Yeah. That trilogy than just JJ.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how young JJ thought. I don't know if this is his new thought process, but I feel like after certain directors get to a certain point, they're just kind of like, I can do it. And they're still gonna, you know, watch my shit. I don't have to answer for anything.
Yeah, I think he definitely got he's definitely got that status. People know his name pretty well. They know his stuff he's done. So he's still gonna be in work. And I think he does good
work. I mean, that's what I was gonna say too though. That I feel like he's also distinct enough that it's not even just about like, you know, people gonna come watch my movies. They know what to expect when they're coming in. There's probably gonna be a mystery box, there's probably gonna be this type of storytelling and things like that. I think he's at a point where it's okay for him to do it. Expectations are.
I made my million.
Yeah.
Doing it because I think he legitimately thinks that it's like, I don't think he's doing it like as a lazy thing or anything. I think he's just like, this is what I believe. This is how I believe I can tell a good story. So this is what I'm going to do. Which, you know, that's art again.
Yeah. Interpretation. But I do like the aspect because of it being, because, you know, it makes you want to talk about it. And I like that. That's the only thing I like about it.
Yeah, that's the only good. Because then it's like, once you find out what the answer is, or if there's not a good answer, or if there's no answer at all, and I feel like you kind of look back and you just don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Right.
I mean, but see, that's the thing, though. I feel like that's only the case when it's not good. Because if it's mediocre or not good, then you don't care about it. But if it's awesome and it's dope, then you're gonna keep talking about it.
Like, that's true. But then in that case, that's true. Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like it just helps you cover your ass. Like
yeah. Because then you could be like, yeah, I knew the answer the whole time because it worked out, right? It worked out so well.
or even like, I could see a situation where like you start writing a thing, you have the answer, and then as you're looking over, you're like, man, that's not good enough. So then you nix it and you say it's going to be a mystery box now. No one's ever going to figure it out. I'll let you guys talk about it. I'll let you guys theorize. And then that's what gives it that extra level up. I can see that happening too. Where like, because if it's good and it's great, I feel like you know when you're in it, they're like, oh yeah, this is... I feel once you get to a certain level of anything, you've got a solid understanding of how good or how bad your thing is. And I feel like a mystery box is a solid way to like give that extra level up. But I don't know.
Do you think like it's a good idea for the creator to tell the audience that there's going to be a mystery box, like, and they want them to have discussions about it? It's like, I'm purposely ending this on a what the fuck so that you guys can talk about it. You think that's smart for a creator to do?
So I think if it's like Zuko's mom, for example, it was kind of a mystery box.
One of the biggest plot holes that I've fucked, man, I'm mad. But anyway.
Yeah, but see, it wasn't a plot hole, though, is the thing. That's what I was about to say. Like,
it really wasn't.
Yeah, because it didn't really tie. It was just something people really wanted to know because where there's all this focus on. Yeah, it was focused on, like, there was so much focus on the Fire Lord and then, you know, Azula, and then people were like, where's the mom? They see her in these flashbacks. Everything, but she's not showing up in the real time. So I was like, what's going on? And then, you know, she shows up in the comics and all that. But that, I think, is an example of a good little mystery, because it doesn't take away from the plot. It's just something people really want to know. It hypes up their like excitement and their, you know, their excitement for the whole series, because they're trying to get these answers. And yeah, that's a good one, because it doesn't detract. And I think too, that would be a good example of one. Because mysteries like that aren't like super integral to the plot, they're a lot easier to change up like as you go writing. Because again, it's not that important. So you could even like that's the reason people care about that mystery isn't because they necessarily care about the mom. They care about Zuko and like, you know, Azula to a point and all that stuff. So then it's like, you literally don't even have to like hint at it or nothing. It's just people want to know because they care about Zuko. The answer could literally be anything. She got sick. She died. She got thrown in jail. She ran away. It could be any of those things. There's no buildup for any of it. There could be. That could make it better, but there doesn't have to be. And the answers will still be like, okay, like that's hype to know. That's good to know. That's dope.
Right.
Even I was thinking like.
So basically, side mysteries are the best mysteries.
In my opinion. Yeah. Like,
that's what I was going to say though. Like, is it. Because I was almost going to say that, like, I don't even think who Zuko's mom is a mystery. It was a question. There weren't like hints leading towards anything. It was just a thing you noticed on the way, and then you asked the question. Whereas like a mystery is like You got there has to be clues or something that leads you towards. Out,
but I think I cut telling.
I think I get what he was saying.
All I'm saying is that
the difference between a question and a mystery, though. Oh, he's back. What's up?
Yeah, all I'm saying is that. Mystery, that
are you talking about like in the terms of making a movie or just in general?
Storytelling wise.
I feel like a mystery, like Remy said, it's specifically there's clues that are given to be like, hey, you should probably look into this. And then a question is just kind of like, you know, where is she? And they don't say anything. They're just like, all right, she's just gone. And like, there's no type of breadcrumbs or anything about how she could have got gone or whatever. It just was. I think that's what the difference is. But in terms of the definition, I think they're the same. Because if you have a question, you're kind of a mystery to you. You know what I'm saying?
The definition of mystery seems more about it being difficult to explain. I think the raw definition of mystery involves it has to be difficult to explain or difficult to solve.
So it's a hard question.
Yeah,
a hard.
Which is why you would need clues to figure it out, or else it'd be impossible.
Right. So I guess a mystery could even be like a series of questions or like something like that.
Yeah.
That's something. What were you saying though? You said you kind of. What were we talking about?
Me.
Yeah.
About how like I don't think that Kuzuko's mom is a mystery. I feel like it's just a question. It's something you happen to notice during this situation that's going on, and then you ask the question. But at no point did the writers ever like go like, "Oh, but who's Zuko's mom? Where did she go?" Yeah. You just were like, you knew that Zuko's mom was a good person and her dad was a bad person. His dad was a bad person. You're like, so then what happened to her? Because I was thinking about it, I would assume that he killed her or put her in prison or something like that based on the information we had. Like, but they didn't say that. Like, you know, there was never a moment where, you know, Zuko's dad is talking to Azula like, and that's why I got rid of your mother. Like, that wasn't the thing that happened. So, yeah. That's all I'll say.
True.
But Zuko, like, he changed over the years, like, right? Because my thing is, how is a lady so good marry a nigga like that?
It was arranged, like, right? Wasn't it an arranged marriage? Like, I don't think that was her choice. I don't think.
Oh, it was.
Probably, yeah.
Wasn't it? I don't even remember.
I think I don't remember either, but I feel like it would be, yeah.
Yeah, because I think she was the daughter of Avatar Roku, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not daughter, but grand.
Yeah, like sister or something, yeah.
Because you remember there's an episode that was like.
Is she right about that too? People do change.
Wait.
Yeah.
Or their worst qualities get worser.
Right. Like you didn't see it at the surface, but it was always there.
Yeah.
Wait, was that episode? Was that episode about Sozin's sister dating Roku, or was it? I don't remember. I don't know. I guess it doesn't.
Well, I really got to go back and watch that.
Wasn't it? I thought Sozin was who am I thinking of? Who was the avatar before Aang?
Roku.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, never mind. Shit.
Yeah, because I know the episode Kevin's talking about. It's the Avatar and the Fire Lord, I think is what it's called, something like that. But yeah, I can't remember if it was Sozin's sister and Roku had a thing, or if I'm getting it confused with like. Yeah, or like Roku's descendant is. I don't know.
I'm on the case, bro. Go ahead. See, it's a mystery now, right?
We got the clues now.
Yeah, ringing around full circle.
Right. What are you doing, man? Sozin was best friends with.
Need the clues.
Sozin also. Oh yeah. Roku was in love with Tamin, his sister.
Okay. Yeah. So then it wasn't Zuko's mom then. Because I remember feeling like there was a reason why, like, Zuko and Aang are, like, related in quotes, but I think that's all it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aang is Zuko's son brother.
Yeah. Grand uncle or something.
Yeah. Grand uncle.
Or something. Hey, you know, don't you know you got to teach your grand uncle firebending, you know? That's what happens, right?
I mean, it's funny, though, that it's just weird that an uncle and an aunt can be either older or younger or the same age as you. And that's like the one thing in a family that can be. Like, no other level of
cousin.
Family, I guess.
I mean, yeah, cousins, though. Right?
Yeah, cousins. But I don't know. It's just weird for me to think about. Because, like, when you think of uncle, it's just like, an uncle and aunt, you think of, like, a superiority type thing. Like, cousins, when you say cousin, I'm like, all right, that nigga's on my same level. Hey, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be like, your uncle and your aunt is your mom's brother
and sister. Yeah, siblings. Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, I don't know. It's just weird.
No, what you're saying makes sense. The idea that, like, because they're related, they're siblings, which is equal value to your parents, that makes them above you.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I think we're at three.
Tommy, you just lied. Slime. Yo, is that rumor about, did you guys ever hear the rumor about slime? Airheads being made out of slime, like the Nickelodeon slime.
No, I didn't hear that.
I mean, I don't eat that shit anyway, so you know, I don't.
You don't eat Airheads, bro? Airheads, bro.
Disgusting.
I'm about to buy you a 24 case of Airhead.
That's fine. Go ahead. Waste your money. That's fine. That's cool.
Bro, what? Bro, you gonna eat that guy?
I ain't gonna eat a damn thing.
You gonna taste that guy?
No, I'm not. That shit, bro.
Gross. You are. Why don't you like Airheads?
Because they look gross and they taste like trash.
What? They don't. They just look like a piece of. It's just like a piece of candy. Like, what? Alright.
No, honestly, it's how hard they are. Like, I'm not. Like, I don't fuck with Laffy Taffys either. Like, that's just. I'm not trying to fight with my food for 45 minutes before I get a bite. That's just not. That ain't me.
Now, are you saying hard or chewy? Because Laffy Taffys are hard, but I feel like Airheads are just chewy.
But they're also sticky. And they're a bit hard too, for being completely honest. Unless you warm them guys up, which is also gross, they're also pretty hard.
I've never the sticky I'll give you, but that's only if you eat it too slowly. Like, as soon as you get that shit wet.
Nah, bro, you bite on that shit and it sticks to your teeth, and you got
But that's the chewiness of it. You know what I'm saying?
Gross. Like I said, gross. Anyway, that's been another episode. I guess we out of here. And all that whatnot and stuff.
And there you have it. What do y'all think about mystery boxes? But more importantly, what do y'all think about Airheads? Well, until next time, just remember, the most important color in the box is neon black. Y'all stay safe.